And we're back in Stripe Show Podcast. Thank you for making us part of your day. It's a Friday. It's an afternoon. That means one thing. It means it's happy hour. And what's different this happy hour this week versus last week? And I can promise you this is there's going to be no 59 watch this week at the BMW Championship. We came on last Friday. We had a 59 watch with Scotty Scheffler as they just destroyed TPC Boston. A little different story this week at Olympia Fields in Chicago. Let's just put it this way. The golf course is winning as currently we come on the air here. It's 2:30 Eastern. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now seven guys under par in a field of 69. Made the decision of the week to withdraw as he probably played the course one time and says, yeah, I'm out. This golf course is a little too difficult for me, but lots to talk about in the world of golf. Friday happy hour edition. Welcome in the one and only Samantha Marks. You like that?
I love that. The one and only. Yes, it's afternoon on a Friday. It's officially happy hour. So I haven't poured one out yet, but it won't be too far coming.
Yeah. Well,
my roommate just got these pumpkin beers. So it's like pumpkin season, right? So Starbucks, I've got the pumpkin spice lattes, got some pumpkin ales in the fridge. We're feeling spooky. It's a little early because it's still like 110 degrees here, but yeah, it's been a good week with all the fall stuff back.
Yeah, it's fun, right? The pumpkin flavors. I saw that you tweeted the picture of the Starbucks, and then I got one, and it's too sweet for me. The pumpkin iced latte. It's a little on the sweet side, but I like the pumpkin scone. Huge fan of that. And then the pumpkin, what is it? It's like a
the pumpkin bread is good.
Yeah, the pumpkin bread, very good. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I'm excited. Fall, goodness gracious, I can't wait. It is so hot, people, here in Florida right now. I taught this morning and got done about noon. And I was like, this is ridiculous. I mean, 94, no wind, humid, feels like 108. I'm like doing out here. But it's coming. We'll be there soon enough. A little fall weather, golf, the best time of the year, at least in my opinion, across the United States, just beautiful as the leaves start to turn, and we're not far away. So I'm excited for that. A lot to talk about here with Samantha. So set the stage for us.
Yeah, we've got the second playoff event this week, the top 70 from last week. We've got the BMW Championship this week in the Chicago area. Have some ties to Chicago, so it's fun to see them in that part of the country. The scores are high, so we'll get into that, talk about the, you know, pros and cons of watching and playing an easier versus a more difficult course. The LPGA is in Northwest Arkansas, which is where the University of Arkansas is, which is where I played. So super, super fun, an event that I hold close to my heart. Kind of sad that I didn't get to go because nobody's there, but and then we'll definitely delve into Sophia Popov not getting a 5-year LPGA exemption after her win at the AIG Women's British Open. That's an interesting one. Definitely get deep into that. Mike Wan released a statement about 30, 45 minutes ago here Friday afternoon. So he's great. I feel like Mike Wan does a really good job, and he did a good job explaining his reasoning. And so we'll get into that. Talk a little bit about Phil. And then I wrote a hilarious article for the Golfers Journal. So we'll talk about that.
Yes.
And then we'll talk about Ben Out of Shape because it's Friday and some people were pissed off about some stuff. So we love to see it.
Yeah. We got a lot to talk about here today. A lot of, good topics. I'm excited to talk about the article that you put together for Golfers Journal. Very, very good article. We'll get to that. But this Olympia Fields, let me ask you a question, Samantha, as you watch this tournament this week. As I mentioned, six players are under par. Do you like watching the carnage that is happening right now in Chicago, or do you prefer let's go low, 59 watch every single day in TPC Boston? What do you prefer?
I think I prefer it to be a little bit easier than it is playing right now from a fan perspective. However, I will say that last week I noticed when Dustin Johnson won by, how many did he end up winning by?
Like 11.
Yeah, that's just absurd. I will say that I noticed last week. So I'll put the golf on the TV and I'll be, you know, doing something else. Very nappable golf is, everybody knows that. But I don't feel like I'm paying as much attention without the roars of the fans.
Yeah.
I would say back in times where fans were on the course, I would say it was obviously a lot more fun to hear the roars and the birdies and the, you know, fans getting excited. But right now, I don't know that it makes a whole lot of difference because it's a pretty quiet broadcast as it is. And that I'm not really a huge fan of. Obviously, there's no other option right now because that's the COVID era that we're in right now. And that's just what we're dealing with. But I would say I would prefer it to be easier, but not quite as much of a blowout as it was last week. That got so boring so fast, in my opinion.
Well, the only good thing about last week, it was DJ that was the one that blew him out. So for me, at least, you know, as I mentioned, peak DJ is must watch TV. He, to me, him and Rory at their best are the two most powerful players in the game. Now, we know Tiger's in his own stratosphere when it comes to eyeballs. We get that. But those two, for me, I enjoy it no matter what the circumstance is. I think we are getting to a point, Samantha, you make a good point. You make an interesting comment about the fans. We're probably getting a little bit to a point where, you know, when golf came back at the Charles Schwab, it was like, we don't care if there's fans or not, right? Like, just play. It's something to watch. We're suffering here. That has been going on now for the better part of 3 months. And maybe we're ready to see some fans now, right? Like, it's, we're kind of, I think, just in general, maybe wanting some normalcy, right? Fans bring that normalcy in a lot of different ways. So yeah, I think there's some fatigue from the standpoint of, you know, golf's on, but there's no fans. It'd be nice to get some energy from some people out on the golf course. I know I'm there for sure. I love the fact that these guys are playing. They're doing a remarkable job. The PGA Tour, I've said that many times, all the players. And without them doing what they're doing, we can't watch any golf. So I get that. I'm appreciative of that. But the next step for sure is fans. I don't think we'll see fans until, I think we'll probably see, there seems to be a few more people moving around on property each and every week. But I don't think we'll see fans at least until past the West Coast swing next year. That's just my gut. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would obviously love to see them at like the Players starting at least by then, but it just seems so far off with the things that they're still canceling. They canceled another 2 European Tour events today. Mm-hmm. It just seems so far off. I'm with you. Like, it seems it's so necessary. And I think it does a lot more for the viewer experience at home than I thought it was going to. Because like you said, I was like, I don't care if there's fans or not. Just get me golf on TV. Like, get me some kind of sporting event. Because 3 months ago, there was nothing. Golf was the first thing to come back. And it was great. We didn't care if there were fans or not. And now I'm getting a little bored.
Yeah. And I don't think you're the only one. I think Rory's bored. I think Tiger's a little bored. And I think DJ got some inspiration, I believe, from Brooks. And, you know, Rory was very transparent. He's just not focused. He's not motivated. He's missing the fans. You know, that's why I love Rory things so well. And he's transparent, but I don't think he's the only one. I think he feeds off the fans. And I think Rory's gotten a little complacent and bored. I think Tiger would admit that he's missing the fans. I mean, you're Tiger Woods. You play golf in front of the most people of anybody in the history of the game. And all of a sudden there's no one there, you know, and that might've been fun for a couple of weeks, but you know, I think he would welcome to have his roar and his energy and his aura, you know, that he kind of gets from all that back. So I'm with you. It's hopefully we're moving in the right direction. And by the Players, it'd be great to see some people in the stands. A little update here in the tournament, BMW Championship. My guy in my lineup, my two big cards, Hideki Matsuyama. I like this place for Hideki. You watch the matchup show. I thought this could be a place where it didn't turn into a putting competition. He's a great ball striker, fairways and greens. Why not? This is his kind of place. Just wear him out with some ball striking and then make a putt once in a while. And, you know, he's going to be there. So he's leading at 3 under. Mackenzie Hughes at 2. Rory McIlroy just made a long one on his 7th hole. He's now 2 under. Tyler Duncan backed it up to 1. There's Horschel at 1. Lanto Griffin continues to have a great year. Lanto Griffin's going to be in Atlanta, ladies and gentlemen. And he is at 1 under. And now we've got Munoz and Ortiz at 1. So I think we've now got the total up to about 8 guys under par.
I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
Back to the fan experience, but also talking about the winners that we've had this year. You look at, you have some big names, Berger, Johnson, Bryson, Morikawa, Rahm. But then you look at players like Michael Thompson, Richie Werenski, Jim Herman. Do you think that they would have had the same experience, the same wins, the same success in this COVID era with fans present?
You know, that's a good question. It's hard to tell. Todd Lewis and I talked about this on Wednesday, and we used Morikawa as an example in that he was in college just a year ago, and so was Wolf and all these guys, right? So they didn't have big fans. The shoes of those guys, the Rinskys, the Brendan Todds, although Brendan Todd has won before. Mm-hmm. But if I was to try to win as a young player coming onto the PGA Tour for the first time, and you said, look, you can have thousands of people around you with added pressure or not, I'd probably say not. You know, I would probably be like, yeah, I'm used to this environment already. So I'm comfortable in that already. So I'm going to go ahead and choose that. So I don't think there's any question that, you know, that there was a little bit of value in that, right? For some of these guys in Morikawa. It takes nothing away from what he did at the PGA, but I think it is a reality. And then I think on the flip side, I think guys like Tiger and Rory who feed off of the crowd, I think it is a little bit of a disadvantage for them because that's, you know, that's kind of what they've been doing, right? And that's their stage. They're entertainers and they need that to kind of elevate themselves to peak performance. I use the example, at least for me, when I was doing live television at Golf Channel, for me, Samantha, that was like the most incredible high for me in mm-hmm. focus. When I knew it was on, it was my time. I don't think I've ever been like, it was a level of focus and that just kind of made me elevate my game a little bit more and versus when I would do it tape delayed, right?
For sure.
And when I would do it tape delayed, I would make more mistakes and it was the damnest thing. Like and not that I wasn't trying as hard either. It was just strange. I was like, why do I make these mistakes when I'm trying to do a tape delay versus, and I would make mistakes live too, but it was a different feeling and focus and execution between the two. And yet I felt like I was, you know, fully invested in both scenarios, if that makes sense.
No, it definitely makes sense. And I did the live TV thing too in reporting and it's the same exact thing. You count down from 3, 2, 1 when you're just have the record button on and you're going to mess up every time because it's almost like there's no pressure. And people like me and you and the pros thrive on that pressure when we're in a public figure situation. So I definitely agree. I just thought that was an interesting topic, but
yeah, there's nothing more that I'd like to see the fans out there getting fired up and Tiger fist pump and Rory excited. And no, that's the next step. Right. It's the next step. Yeah, you know, we can't get ahead of ourselves with the pandemic. The tour's done a hell of a job. We're watching live golf. I'm watching it right now. Bubba Watson just missed a putt on the second hole. Tiger has parred the first two holes. His first drive today on the first hole, hit it in the bunker up against the lip, had to hit it out sideways. How you doing? How you doing, golf? I'm back.
Yeah.
Just the worst feeling.
No kidding.
First hole, you got to hit out sideways. Goodness gracious. But, they're not going to go low here. This is going to be a fairways and green, middle of the green, make your pars. You're going to have to, you know, this is where this particular golf course, you know, the strokes hand short game has a little more value. You're going to have some difficult up and downs to keep your rounds going. But, you got to have the whole package here, right? So this is maybe what Rory needed to kind of get him a little more focused, right? Like, this really mm-hmm. difficult golf course that punches you in the face. And you're like, man, I got to have it all here. So it's like, you know, I'll show these guys, right? I am the total package. So he's performing. He's 2 under. He's 1 off the lead. DJ, who blitzed the field last week, is he got it to even, I believe, but he may have now given that back. Nope, he's still even. So he's still even par now through 2 holes. So here comes the cream, right? Up to the top. Tiger's got to get it going, though. He's got to finish 4th to make it to East Lake. And as of right now, he's got to get that putter going. Too many 3-putts. Jeez. I mean, Tiger's at the bottom right now in 3-putts. It's really weird to watch him just struggle.
I will say that he was obviously upset yesterday after he played, didn't speak with the media or anything. And, you know, that's a sure sign with Tiger about how he's feeling. But he shot three over and really stumbled to the finish, like did not play well in his last few holes. But he wasn't, you know, you shoot three over, and if you look like a week like last week, he would have been, what, like 10 or more shots off. And he's he's really much closer than we all felt like he was going to be coming off of last week. So I was a little bit encouraged by that, but definitely going to need a big few couple days to come in that top five.
Yeah, iron game looked good yesterday, sprayed the driver some, but the putting is just not good enough. He's got to get better with the flat stick.
Let's take a second to talk about the guys and girls over at Encore Golf. Encore has earned a reputation of having the most cutting edge technology in their golf balls that the industry has seen in quite some time. Their team in Buffalo, New York is changing the script of golf technology through the perimeter weighted designs, use of high density particles, and even a nano transitional layer in their latest creation, which offers players enhanced accuracy and control for every shot on the course and extreme velocity off the tee. They already have their award-winning Elixir and Avant 55 golf balls, but the new Vero X1 is the highest performance ball to date. With their full suit of golf balls, they are transforming the game for players of all skill levels. Visit EncoreGolf.com/Travis Fulton for more details about their products that are revolutionizing the game. Now back to the Stripe Show podcast.
Let's, I want to move to the LPGA Tour because I want to ask you here, this NWA championship in Arkansas. You actually played in this event, did you not?
I did. So one of the things that drew me to the University of Arkansas was their exemption program into this event. So they still have it now, but it's a little bit different. So the number one player on the team gets an automatic sponsor's exemption into the event. And then the number two and three players on the team at that point in the season, which is like right now, obviously, but it was in a different spot. So it was at that point in the season, the number two or three players got a spot into the Monday qualifier. So played the Monday qualifier. It was at Pinnacle Country Club, which if you've never spent time in Northwest Arkansas, great spot, about 20 minutes north of campus. So it's in a different part of town. It's where Walmart is headquartered. So there's about a million people in that area. People think that, you know, Arkansas is just some farm town, which I thought the same thing until I got there. But yeah, I went out and I played the Monday qualifier. I think I shot even or one under. I have really bad golf memory. That's something about me. And I won the Monday qualifier and I played in the event and it was super fun. Wow. I played with Pernilla Lindberg and Kim Kaufman in the event. Pernilla is now a dear friend of mine. She lives here in Orlando and she's a member at my club. So funny how things happen like that. Fun event, fun city.
Were you thinking at that time that this is what I'm going to do? I'm going to play professional golf for a living.
Yeah, at that point it was. That was what I wanted to do. And I still had, I want to say, a year and a half or 2 years left in school. And then, you know, you start to struggle and it's not all, you know, qualifying and playing well all the time. And just found my love for practicing went away very quickly. I hate the range. I hate practicing. And you obviously can't be successful without doing that. So I was like, you know what? I think I'm just gonna bunt this, and went into news reporting. So, you know, here we are. But
nice.
But yeah, so it was a super fun event, and it was fun because it was in Arkansas and everybody wanted to cheer for the student, you know, the amateur player. So it was a great time.
Did you say Pernilla Lindberg?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She shot 200 today at the tournament.
Oh, she did. I did not even look at that. That's
in
great.
In the morning wave right now, Anna Norquist is at 7. Jackie Stolting, I think that's how you say it. Stolting is at 7.
Sure. Yep.
And the afternoon wave, of course, is now getting out onto the golf course. Nelly Korda at 4 under, Enby Park 4 under. So they're going to, there's a little better scoring going on in Northwest Arkansas right now than there is in South Chicago. I believe that's where Olympia Fields is, South Side. Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Down in the Chicago area there. Ruffled Feathers, I've been there. Another beautiful golf course. Some good golf in that area. Medina, of course.
Mm-hmm. Chicago Golf Club.
Chicago Golf Club. Some really nice golf in the greater Chicago era. Xander Schauffele putt for birdie just left it short. Xander, it's a good place for Xander. Fairways and greens, patient, I could see him hanging around. He's got the game to hang around. I'm curious to watch Bryson here to see if we're going to have another blow up.
Yeah.
You know, something's going to happen here where his head's going to explode.
It's been a couple weeks. Yeah. I'm ready for it.
He's interesting. I don't know if you watched the Wednesday charity Wednesday afternoon. We'll just have to watch here to see what happens with Bryson throughout the week. But I want to stay on the ladies game here. Explain to the listeners, Sophia Popov, right? Mm-hmm. I say that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Sophia Popov, who won the Open Championship last week. And we talked about that, an incredible, story that was happening when we went on the air on Friday, and she does not have status on the LPGA tour. And when it comes to giving out the exemptions for a major championship winner, there's some distinction there, right?
Yeah, there is. So it's a little confusing. And that's something that people are pretty upset about online in the past few days. Let me kind of try to explain it. So Sophia had only some Metro Tour status when she won the AIG Women's Open last week. If she was a full-time LPGA member at the time of her win, she would have earned an automatic 5-year exemption on the LPGA. But since she was not a member of the LPGA at the time of her win, she will just be exempt for 2 years, which will be through the end of the 2021 season. People were upset, you know, first off, before we realized this 2-year exemption as opposed to 5-year, that she is not in the next major, which is the ANA Inspiration here in a couple weeks. Mike Wan went on Twitter today, recorded a statement. He's up in Northwest Arkansas, so he did, you know, a little media day explaining it. And he did a great job explaining it. I think Mike Wan does a great job communicating with media and fans about, you know, the social media criticism that he faces in the ladies' game. But he basically went on to say that he would reassess everything at the end of the season, as he does every year, but he wasn't going to change the rules right now. So Sophia also gets into the AIG Women's Open until she's 60 years old. So she's in that one forever. She gets into PGA Championship, KPMG Women's PGA Championship through 2024, and the ANA, Evian, and US Women's Open from 2021 to 2025. Now, here's where people are not understanding what Mike Wan is saying. The ANA Inspiration that is happening in 2 weeks, or next month, for the second LPGA major of the year, that was set for March. That was supposed to be before the AIG Women's Open, because everything's reshuffled now that the pandemic has happened and all the events are in different places now. So that field was set based on the AIG Women's Open from last year, which is when Hinako Shibuno won. And she was also not an LPGA member at the time. So it does make sense, although we don't like it. The people who earned their spots in last year's AIG Women's Open are just, they haven't even played the ANA for this year yet, let alone the one for next year. So Sophia is going to earn her way into the one for next year, which is exactly what the people who played in the AIG Women's Open last year did. Does that make sense? Am I explaining that right?
No, I did. Yeah. And that makes sense, right? And there was a few people questioning that. But I think the big question was that it was I believe now it's a 2-year exemption. I read it as one before, but she gets a 2-year exemption on the LPGA tour, not 5, because she's not an LPGA member.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. And Mike Wan even said, it's okay if you disagree, it's okay if you don't like it, but they don't go back and set the field. And he even, interestingly enough, because we talked about Daniel Berger not being in the Masters field, he related it to the Masters field as well. And he said the Masters field is set.
Yeah.
And that's how the ANA is as well. And like he said, the people who earn their way into next year's AIG was the winner and the top 5 players of last year's AIG. And those people have not even gotten to play in the ANA this year yet. So they're still waiting their turn, and Sophia will wait her turn, is essentially what he's saying.
Yeah. At first, I think the feeling was that she was only going to get exemption for the rest of the year on the LPGA tour. That's kind of how I was reading it, but it is 2 years. And the reason it's only 2 is because she's not an LPGA tour member. If she was an LPGA member, she would have received 5 years. Correct. On the LPGA tour for her exemption. So that's a, but she is a Symetra Tour member.
Right.
Yeah. And I guess for me, like on the Symetra Tour, which is the developmental tour for the LPGA tour here in the States. And then in Europe, it's the LET tour, right? LET mm-hmm. tour. So, and of course for the men, it's the Korn Ferry tour, right? That's the, that is the developmental tour for the PGA tour. So the Symetra Tour, which is operated by the LPGA Tour, she is a Symetra Tour member. And so she gets a 2-year now to the LPGA Tour. I think if I was under the same brand, I think for me, I would just have it 5 across the board for me. And I'm probably missing something, but as a developmental tour, a player developing and winning one of the biggest tournaments as we classify them, a major, I just think that's a missed opportunity for them to celebrate that development and recognize that as a 5-year exemption. Am I wrong?
No, I would agree with you. And I do think that it does make a difference because it is a major.
Right.
You know, if she would have won a regular season event, of course, it's impressive. It's awesome. You know, she was an LPGA member. That's amazing. But people are kind of acting. And this is what Mike Kwan said too in his video. People are kind of acting like this has never been done before.
Yeah.
When it's done quite often, it was just kind of more so with a light shone upon it this time.
Yeah. Or we just all forgot, right? Which right. I forget everything.
I mean,
you have to remind me like every month what just happened like a month ago. And it's like, oh yeah, that's right. We did talk about that. But yeah, I mean, it is more in the limelight. It just feels like a missed opportunity to celebrate the Symetra Tour. That's all I'm saying. Like, you know, like it just feels like a Symetra Tour member developing, incredible story, 5-year exemption on the LPGA Tour, no different than a LPGA Tour member who might be struggling, but yet still keeping her card, right? Gets the 5-year. I don't know. I think they'll look at it. I like Mike Wan too. I think he's very, obviously he's a very smart man. But I think he articulates his message extremely well. And I think he puts it out there and he's right in front with people. And, you know, I think he does a great job. He's clearly a terrific commissioner for the LPGA Tour. And I just hope it's something they look at, right? I don't think you can change it right now. I agree with that. But I think as he looks at that, every opportunity we can put the Symetra Tour front and center as a terrific story, man, I think you would want to do that. I think that'd be an inspiration to young women. I also think it'd be a great story for potential sponsors.
You know, definitely agree. I was encouraged by when he said that they were going to look into it, but I mean, I do agree with them. You can't make special exemptions for certain people, and you can't do it the few days after the tournament based on emotions and, you know, whatever, but it is what it is. And I thought he did a good job explaining it.
Are you saying that we can't act out and have opinions based on emotion in this world today? I mean,
not unless it's on Twitter, because you know, that is a free for all for sure.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute on what's, you know, getting people bent out of shape on Twitter, but we've got to round this out with PGA Tour champions. Big Phil goes up to the experienced tour and puts it on him.
It was so awesome.
It was awesome. I mean, why not play PGA Tour champions Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? I mean, I'm sure they've looked at it right on, you know, from a corporate hospitality and sponsorship and what that all means. But I loved it. Man, having them on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday was awesome. It really was.
It was. It was really cool. And I think it was awesome that he did just go out there and dominate, just because some people at the beginning were like, oh, I wonder why he's doing that. You know, I mean, I understand he was out of the FedEx Cup playoffs, wants to be primed for the US Open. But what I didn't want to happen was for him to go out there and, you know, kind of embarrass himself, which I thought did have a potential of happening. So I was happy that he went well, that he played well. He only has, what, like 40 wins to catch up with Bernhard Langer.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, he's on his way.
Well, there's a new sheriff in town, Bern, and his name is Phil Mickelson.
Aviators and all. Wears
these really cool aviators. He's left-handed, and he has his own jet, and he'll be in and out when he decides he wants to come and get another victory. There's no substitute for winning. You know, I mean, I think Phil looked at it and clearly saw a golf course that was, you know, there were some generous fairways. And that's always key for Phil. There was a couple places that you couldn't miss it, but for the most part, I think he's probably not going to go there if it's this tree lined, you know, really difficult, golf course off the tee where he just starts spraying it and can't recover and this and that. So, but, you know, it's funny. He said he was playing great. He said he was shooting 60, you know, twos and threes and fours at home. And then he goes to Boston and doesn't play well, misses the cut. And then he's like, man, I'm playing good. I want to keep playing. So, you know, it worked out with that course. They're playing on Monday, go make his debut. And he just kind of, he found his zone. And I'm sure he left Branson, Missouri, feeling like confident, like feeling like he wants that he's ready to continue to play because he won. There's no substitute for winning. You gotta win at golf. You know, you have to find that level where it's, you know, you gotta win once in a while. And it's so important, I would, for anybody, but I would especially for these guys out there. We talked about it on Wednesday with Bubba Watson, his press conference talking about how, you know, he felt like he could still play with these guys and that he was trying to find the confidence to prove that to him. I'm just like, what? You know, like you could just kind of hear in his voice that he just was beaten down. And so even though he's won two majors, you lose your confidence, things start spiraling, moving the wrong way, you lose your game, whatever. And it, you know, it's hard to recover that. So getting a win was big for him. He played exceptionally well, just filled it up. I mean, tons of birdies. I thought he was going to get to 30 under par at one point for three rounds the way he was going. Mm-hmm. The one day he shot 63 with an out of bounds.
Yeah, it was just really impressive. I'm with you though. Like it you need that success for your confidence, whether you're playing good, hitting it good or not, like making those putts and holding the trophy at the end of the week, it holds a lot.
Confirmation, right? It helps in this game. It really does. It helps to get some little wins, propels you forward. And I'm sure he has that right now as we look at the BMW Championship. Hideki would like to get back into the winner's circle. It's been a while for him, and so would Rory. I'm sure he would love to get back to the form that he was showing before COVID. No one was affected more from COVID-19 than Rory McIlroy. He was the number one player. Yep. And now he's been spiraling. Boy, he's hitting some erratic shots as I watch it on PGA Tour live coverage. He just hit a snap hook drive. Look like he just hit it straight off the toe. And I think he's really struggling with his swing. He's really just, I think, trying to find something here with his swing that's going to hold up. And I don't think he has it right now. I think he's pretty fortunate to be where he is at two under par. So you wrote this article. We need to get to this. You wrote this article for Golfers Journal. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So you've been to the PGA show, Travis, up here in Orlando. I've been going for years just kind of for fun. It's in Orlando where I'm from. You know, my country club would get the passes. And so we'd go and, you know, find all the new training aids and everything like that. And it was so much fun. Well, this year and last year working for Golf Channel, it was a little bit different, went kind of more so on a business agenda. I did a couple articles each year on my favorite things that I liked that I saw, you know, clothing items, training aids, head covers, whatever. Always something new and exciting in the golf world, especially to be showcased at the PGA show. Well, around the time of the PGA show in January, which was now, 8 months ago, I had tweeted something about how if you're on golf Twitter, everybody talks about all the men wear khakis and they all wear navy blazers and they all have these giant backpacks. And you know what I'm talking about, right? It's just like the kind of the stigma around the PGA show.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So that's kind of what people always talk about the PGA show is, you know, all the guys look the same and they're all in this, you know, bumping into each other in the convention center. And I tweeted back then, I said, everybody talks about the guys wearing khakis and navy, but nobody talks about the takeover on the dating apps in Orlando, Florida that week.
Okay.
Golfers Journal reached out to me and they wanted me to write a column about it, basically saying, you know, my experience is living here as a woman in golf media. And it was really fun. I took some real conversations that I had with some of these quote unquote men on dating apps. Like if you look at like Bumble or Bumble's probably the most popular dating app right now. So that's the one I was using at the time. Mm-hmm. But it just kind of goes through the real life look at it from a mid-20s single woman's perspective. Mm-hmm. I even said in there that I hold it true to my heart that I think that golf boys are just as terrible as baseball boys.
Oh, wow.
I mean that. And anyway, it was really fun article and it's in this edition of Golfers Journal, which it should be shipped out any like this week and next week to subscribers. So
the khakis and the navy, right? That's accurate. I mean, I've been to the PGA show a number of times and yeah, they can all tend to look right. All the look mm-hmm. the same kind of thing. But golf boys are as bad as baseball boys.
In my experience, and especially their most of them's behavior during the PGA show, just seeing what happens, what goes on in my city.
Yeah.
I saw at least two men who I know are married from golf, Twitter, Instagram, media on dating apps in January. Just overall, maybe not the best situation, but I wrote an article about it and it was really awesome. And more so just describes, like I said, you know, what it looks like from my perspective.
Do they posture themselves in a way that's like, hey, I'm in the golf business.
Oh yes.
And that's cool. Right.
Right. And a lot of guys think it's cooler than it is. Mm-hmm. I think like if you're not me or another girl who works in golf media, you probably don't care about that. But the amount of swing pictures and swing videos and on these dating profiles, it's mind boggling to me, really. And I'm very much of the mindset of I don't want people to know I play golf on dating apps because that's mostly all any guy would want to talk about because they think it's so cool that I play golf and oh my God, we need to go play and oh my God, I can beat you. And I'm like, first of all, no, you can't. It's cute.
Yeah.
But so that's just kind of an annoying thing for me. But yeah, it was a fun time.
So it's fair to say that you're probably not looking for a man that's in the golf business or plays golf, or would that be okay as long as they're mature about it in their approach with you in the initial stages of the golf conversation?
Yeah, I would say understanding that there's more to me than golf is important.
Yeah, right.
Which a lot of people don't see.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I think I can hear you articulating that message because that's all they want to talk about is golf, right? That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's fair for sure. The PGA show happens every year in January for those that don't know here in the Orlando area. And it's when everyone in the golf business is basically in the same place and anything and everything is there to look at. So check it out. It's in the Golfers Journal that comes out, I believe, this coming week. And the Golfers Journal is a great, great piece of literature that comes out once a month, I believe. Is that right?
It's quarterly.
Yeah.
So this edition is, I wrote it obviously back in January, but they have a section in the back, kind of more so lighthearted, funny things.
Yep.
So yeah, I was excited about it. So it'll be out this week.
Yeah. You did a great job with it. She sent it to me. I read it. It's very funny. I thought we would bring it up here on the podcast. And I want to finish up with what people are bent out of shape about. I know there's quite a few out there. So why don't you share a few with us?
Yes. So, all right, we'll just start at the top. People are saying it's raining where they are. That makes sense. Somebody said they live so close to Olympia Fields, but they can't go and watch, which that's upsetting for sure. Somebody said their wedge game sucks, which I would agree. My wedge game sucks right now. Aeration season, that's been the same complaint for the last 3 weeks. I think we've had 3 weeks now. Somebody said the ladies LPGA event is on late and a tape delay. They didn't like that. And then 6-7 people said the Sofia Popov exemption debacle. So that was the biggest thing, which we went through that already. So we understand the meaning behind that. But yeah, that was pretty much it. And then the last thing, which we're not going to get into right now, but was the response to the players speaking out against racial equality, more so basically the Twitter replies to it, people mm-hmm. not agreeing. And that really upset me yesterday as well. Yeah. So I would agree with that, but that's pretty much it.
What upset you was the comments, right, of those attacking Tiger and Tony and Cameron Champ, who, you know, had basically stood up for it. Right. And Cameron wearing one white shoe and one black shoe.
Right. So it was more so the tone deaf responses that I was reading, and it's hard to tweet something and not look at the responses,
right.
But God, it is not the time to look at responses right now.
No, it's not. And that certainly, it certainly irritated me as well. And, you know, I love Tony Finau's approach and the things that he had to say, and that it's uncomfortable to talk about, and, you know, that he's willing to talk about it, right, with those that want to have the conversation. I thought Cameron Champ has used this to really show his maturity and growth. His grandfather is an African American, and I think what they're doing is noble, and I stand behind them as far as standing up for the racial inequality and what we're seeing in police brutality. It's gone on too long, and I'm right there with them.
Yep, I definitely agree. And it, like I said, everybody that responded to the tweet and me were frustrated with the response.
Yeah.
Golf Twitter seems to do that sometimes. So we shall wrap with our fun fact. And it's actually a trivia question. So let's test your knowledge.
Okay.
There are 7 players competing in the FedEx Cup playoffs for the first time. How many can you name?
There are 7 players that have, one more time, it cut out there just a little bit.
Yep. So 7 players are competing in the FedEx Cup playoffs for the first time. Do you know who they are?
I need my list here. Hold on. Let me pull this up in my app. For the first time, what has to be Lanto Griffin.
Yes.
He has to be one of them for sure. I'm going to say Munoz.
Nope.
Okay. So Munoz has been in there before. Let's go Werenski.
Nope.
How am I
was
doing?
Very shocked by these. You have one. You have Lanto Griffin.
McNeely.
Yep, McNeely.
Gooch.
No.
What? Come on. Taylor Gooch has played in this before?
Yep.
All right.
Do you give up? I can help you out. Okay.
I got 20 more seconds. Higgs.
Yes.
So there's some names that you're going to say I'm going to be surprised.
Yes.
Ortiz has played.
Nope.
Yeah, he's played. Yeah. Okay, last one. Duncan.
Nope.
All right, let's have it.
Fitzpatrick.
Oh, Matthew. Okay. All right.
Hovland. Scheffler and Shelton.
Yeah. Duh, Scheffler. Robbie Shelton.
Yep.
All right. That's a good one.
I thought Fitzpatrick would have been there before.
Yeah, for sure.
I wasn't surprised by Higgs or Lanto Griffin, but then you think of the other guys are all younger. So it makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm not good at trivia like that because it requires a memory. And so it's.
Yep, I'm right there with you.
But that's a really good one.
It's good to know, though. Maybe we can. I can start think of something. Start thinking of ones to stump you.
Yeah.
Make me look like the smarter one here.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's really good. Fitzpatrick, this is a good spot for him. I thought really hard here. We'll finish the show here with a little DraftKings, but I thought really hard on him this week, and I passed because I've been playing him a decent amount. And there he is at even par through 4 today. He played with Tiger last week. I think he was nervous Thursday. He shot 100 with Tiger on Thursday. And then he came back and played well on Friday. He missed the cut. But kind of this, you know, he's kind of got that game where I think he could hang around here. And now I'm kind of wishing I would have put him in once again. And Patrick Reed... It just feels like kind of place for him too, doesn't it? Patrick Reed. I've been on the wrong side of Patrick Reed all year. Just when this is him. I'll put him in, you know, T58 and then I won't. And it's T7. So But just real quick here with my lineup, as I pulled up, I'm actually in a great spot. I'm in 633rd place right now in a big game. But I got Berger, who's at three over, which you say three over and he's like, you know, he's out of it. It's like, no, he's like T30. Mm-hmm. I got Finau at plus one, like minus four. I got Kisner plus two, and I got Adam Scott at even. And then my sixth guy, just, I don't know what I'm thinking there. Kevin Streelman.
Ooh, that's a strange pick.
Yeah, I know. I know. I don't know what happened there. I should have. It was a strange pick. I think Streelman has played here and is in the area. He used to work with Jake Thurm, who actually is in this area. So I think Streelman kind of has a lot of ties to this area. So for some reason, I needed that 6,500 pick. So that's all I had left.
Right. Yeah.
And I went that way. So I've got five really, I mean, solid horses right now. And then I've got the guy at the bottom that's basically enjoying the fact there's no cut this week.
But yeah, I was about to say there's no cut. So you can still come out in a pretty good situation.
Yeah. So I'm addicted to DraftKings, and that's okay. That's okay because we do the matchup show. I love it. And it's really fun to get in and dig deep on these players. It was difficult this week because we didn't know much about the course, Olympia Fields, and really how it's going to play. It's actually it's very different than I understand it was in 2003 at the US Open. Jim Furyk won, and then Bryson won the amateur here in 15. So this is a big golf course, it's a beast. I mean, you got to hit it straight. There's some real rough. And let me tell you something, you got your work cut out around these greens too. There's a lot of slope. And these guys, you got to have the whole package here to win this week. So we'll have to see how it plays out, because you can make double in a hurry. I think they're going to get a little rain, it sounds like. So if they soften the greens, the scoring will come down a little bit. So I'm going to go ahead and say eight wins this thing, and Tiger's at plus three. And if he wants to get the T4, he better make this birdie putt right now on the fourth hole to get this train going. Samantha, great show. Appreciate you and everything. And enjoy your last couple of days at Golf Channel, and bigger and better things are ahead. And we'll talk again next week.
Hey, it's Travis Fulton telling you there are 100 million reasons why you should listen up. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is celebrating the return of sports by giving away up to $100 million in prizes to all of their customers, including one lucky winner who will take home a $1 million cash prize. To claim your share of up to $100 million in instant giveaways, all you have to do, download the app and sign up using promo code Travis. Then enter DraftKings free football survivor pool. Yes, it really is that easy to claim your share of up to $100 million in instant giveaways and put yourself in the running to win a $1 million cash prize. While the top prize is reserved for one lucky winner, everyone who signs up and enters DraftKings free football survivor pool will receive an instant bonus prize of at least $5 in value upon entering. While you're in the app, don't forget to check out all of the great daily fantasy contests DraftKings is hosting for this week's basketball and golf action. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code Travis to claim your share of $100 million in instant giveaways and put yourself in the running for the $1 million cash top prize. That's promo code Travis to get your share of $100 million in prizes only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.